Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Crystal Forbes with Great American Title, a family-owned and operated title company with over 30 years serving the real estate community. We provide title and escrow services for both Missouri and Kansas with locations throughout Southwest Missouri. We focus on providing exceptional customer service and trustworthy, reliable title insurance coverage. Our relationships with other industry professionals are why we are able to make dreams come true one closing at a time. Great American Title is proud to sponsor the Simply Authentic podcast, bringing the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help all of us get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically.
Welcome back to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And today, as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, which you should sometimes, yeah, you be should. Sure and follow us on YouTube.
Absolutely.
But we are noteless.
We are. They're not too far away, but we are noteless. We don't have any cheat sheets today.
No.
And there's a reason for that, Angie.
Yeah.
And what
it's
is
our
that?
Off-the-cuff episode.
It is.
But I do just want to put this out there that on this off-the-cuff episode, it was supposed to be no preparation, no planning, just come in, sit down, and have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Well, Tanya planned.
I interpreted the no plan episode to be that we were going to ask each other questions, but we were going to plan what questions we were asking the other one. And she has not planned at all.
No.
So
no plan.
She'll either shine way better than me or she'll stumble trying to come up with a question for me.
Most likely I'll stumble.
Yeah.
No, so it was funny. We're sitting here getting prepared and I've got all my notes put away and Tanya's out here with her notebook and she's got her notes.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, you have to put those away. It cannot be a note-less episode off the cuff with notes in front of you.
So I put my notes away. Yeah. I studied them first.
So we're going to see how this goes.
Yeah.
And if it turns out well, perhaps we'll do another one.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
And the whole idea, so that our listeners or our watchers understand, we are very much type A people, always prepared, always research. I mean, we try to.
Yes.
And most of the time, we are 99% of the time, we're probably ready to go because we've done research, we've talked ahead of time, we've planned ahead of time, et cetera. And so the point of this was that we ask each other questions and we the other one doesn't know what, you know, what each other are thinking, essentially. So I'm sure Angie has some thoughts, as do I. They're in my notes over here, but they're not in front of me. So I'm going to try to remember my questions for her as best I can. So this is off the cuff.
Off the cuff with Angie and Tanya.
Simply authentic. This is simply,
simply authentic.
Authentic.
Truly All authentic.
Right.
All right.
Who's starting?
You go, because you clearly have a plan. So
I do.
With a no plan.
I have a great, like, vision. I want you to envision something.
Okay.
And then you have to answer the question.
Okay.
All right. So I don't know how you got here, either plane or boat, but it went down. It either sunk or it crashed. Okay?
Okay.
And at the last minute, out of your luggage, you got to grab three things because you don't know how long you're going to be stuck on the island that you're going to swim to after your boat sinks or your plane goes down. Okay? So you've got your luggage and you've got to make a choice. What are the three things you take with you?
My phone. That's clearly number one.
Okay.
My phone, a book, because I can't just sit around and do nothing. I have to have some
sort of... Oh, you're going to be busy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to be busy? Oh, you've got
you're
a plan
surviving.
B for... Oh.
You're in survival mode.
I see. I'm not just going to swim up to this island and lay there and get a tan and read my,
read so, my yeah, book. Don't forget your bathing suit.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make some assumptions. I'm already wearing my suit.
Okay.
Under whatever else I'm wearing.
Okay.
So my suit is on me.
Okay.
I'm taking my phone. I'm taking a book. And I am taking my Leatherman tool.
What is a Leatherman tool? What do you speak of?
You know, it's a multifunction tool that has a can opener on it, knife, a couple of different types of knives.
Do you travel with that?
Well, not on planes, but I could probably get it on a boat without a problem.
Maybe.
So we're going to say in this make-believe world that I can take that with me.
Okay.
So that I can hopefully spear a coconut and get some coconut milk or something, you know.
You're definitely going to need a tool of
some
kind.
I'm going to need a tool.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's my answer to that.
Kay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Your turn.
Oh, you want to answer that question? What would you? You've had time to think about it, though.
True.
Since you asked the question.
True.
So that wouldn't be quite fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Come up with something else you can ask me.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's go in the same vein, though. And we ask this question a lot of our Leadership Academy when we're in the first retreat.
Okay.
And it's sort of an icebreaker, and a lot of people use it. But if you could have dinner with anyone, living or past, who would those three people be?
Three. Well, I think obvious choices for everybody, because I've heard this question asked before, is people in your family that now have passed that you wish you had asked all those questions to when they were living and you didn't, right? So I'll use that as one option, that it would be probably a grandpa. And I'd have a hard time choosing between each of my grandpas because they both would have, you know, a different side of family stories.
Yeah.
And so
you knew both of them, right? They were both
They were both living until in the last 7 to 10 years, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah. So I grew up with them, was very close with them, and was an adult with them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I would go with that answer for one of them. I've always had an affection to JFK, and I think that sitting beside him would be very interesting. Can you use Jesus as an option?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, I would love to sit with Jesus and hear all of his stories firsthand. You know, what better guest could you have at your table?
Right. Yeah,
really.
Can't think of
right.
One. Yeah,
because
you're gonna
eventually go home with him, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Those are gonna be my answers. Mm-hmm. As diverse as they are, I could probably come up with 10 more people if you gave me time.
I know.
You know.
Yeah, and I think every time I get asked that question, it's different. You mentioned JFK. Would it not be interesting to talk to his son, just because he was at the prime of his life, and what the hell happened? What the hell happened on that plane?
Yeah, that's always been a great mystery, hasn't it? And I remember when that happened, it was heartbreaking, and obviously you and I weren't, you know, adults when JFK was killed,
right?
But to be able to ask him questions and just the family heritage there, and Jackie O, I have an affection for JFK because my brother was obsessed with him growing up, and we were young kids. Well, Jackie O was as big a part of that conversation.
Absolutely.
And then the life that she lived after he was killed. Yeah, the family heritage there and the secrets that died with them and the stories that died with them.
Yeah. And to watch your husband die in front of you.
to get shot into. I can't even. Yeah. She's a fascinating person. Very stylish.
Oh, yes.
Very stylish.
Very.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the reasons I always loved to watch her.
Yeah.
You know, there was just never anything out of place. Mm-hmm. She was so polished.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's a
so
good
polished.
Word. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, my turn.
Okay.
Who's your favorite sibling?
I don't have one, Tanya.
Come on, Angie.
I do not have
Come
one.
Come on.
Here's the thing.
Just favored because you spend more time with them, maybe?
Well, that's probably going to be my sister.
Okay.
Because we do spend a lot of time together. I distinctly remember sitting in Commerce Bank, because that's where my parents banked, and they were in meeting with their banker, and the four of us were sitting out in the lobby, and his assistant, secretary, whatever she was at the time, she said, I don't remember exactly what she said to me leading up to this, but then she said, oh, it must be so great to have three best friends. Mm. And I've thought about that often, and I wonder if she was an only child. I don't know, but I mean, I wasn't that old. I mean, maybe I was. If all four of us were there, I was probably 12 or 13 at the time. Would be my guess.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, at the time, I was thinking, well, I don't know about that. You know, I was 12 or 13.
Yeah.
But looking back, I think. Absolutely. I'm so glad that I I love each of my siblings. We're all quite different. Mm-hmm. So who I spend the most time with is my sister, because we're both not unmarried, single, and don't have kids. So we do travel some. We're going to go hiking this weekend, and she's going with me to Bali in the fall. And so we do travel some together, and we could not be more different. Mm. She'll be listening to this. And but I love things about her that I don't have, and so it makes me appreciate her. But anyway, I would have to say her. But then, you know, my older brother, I love him because he's so detailed oriented, and if I want to know anything about cars, I'm calling him.
Sure.
And my younger brother is the sports guy, the most athletic. My older brother's the smartest. Mm-hmm. My younger brother's the most athletic. And I love them all. I'm so fortunate to have them.
Well, they all should be listening so that they can hear that. There's three listens we will get of this episode. Because they'll wonder what you said.
What did she say about us? Yeah.
Great answer.
Yeah, well. Do you want to answer that?
I would defer the favorite because my sister's 12 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And my brother is 2 years older than me. And so my brother and I grew up together. And then Brooke was, you know, our little sister. So our growing up together was her being a baby or her being a toddler, her being
It was like a second
school.
Family.
Yes, it was. So we have, you know, because of that, we have grown up differently because Aaron and I are adults when she's still in school, you know? So, but nowadays I have a strong relationship with both of them and they're, you know, of course you have a different relationship with a sister than you do a brother.
Yes.
But I would tell you that I'm just as close to both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what great friends I have nowadays, you know, where we all have been through hell, each of us in our own, you know, story.
Yeah.
In our lives. And that seems to be a common thread we all share.
Mm-hmm.
And it has made us closer.
Yeah. That's something that you and I have in common, that we're both very close to our siblings, have close families, regardless of whatever past, you know, divorce or whatever. I think it's really impressive when kids can stay close when their parents are divorced.
Yes.
Because I know it's harder. It's
Absolutely.
Tougher.
Yeah.
And it's even harder whenever you're really, she's really part of a different family. I mean, it was like starting era. It was like, yeah, it was like they started over.
Yeah.
There is 9 years between my youngest sibling and I, and but yet we're still very close. And I guess I should say that I'm grateful for my brothers for having kids because I have the nieces and nephews to spoil.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a great enjoyment for all of us, my parents included, because it keeps them young because they're constantly going to ball games. Mm-hmm. So,
Is it my turn?
I think it's my turn.
It's your turn.
Because we kind of, which is good. I think we should share in these some.
Yeah.
What, so I got asked this question the other day, so I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
When you got into real estate, you were leaving a different career, mm-hmm. but you got into it, and there's always unknowns, mm-hmm. right? At what point did you say to yourself, this is really great, I got this, and I'm going to stick with it, I guess?
Well, I was lucky when I first went into it that I had a husband that had a job
mm-hmm.
and was working. And mm-hmm. and I was mostly stay-at-home mom with a little side job that I had with my former employer. And mm-hmm. so he was essentially, you know, bringing in all the money. So mm-hmm. when I stopped being in radiology and had kids, I knew I would never, ever go back to that.
Okay.
I did not enjoy it.
Yeah.
I wished I had done something different, and mm-hmm. I knew that immediately. Mm-hmm. So I knew I'd never go back to that. And real estate felt like a family business. It felt like part of me because I grew up in the real estate business and developing. So I was raising young kids. So I don't know if in the early years that I really thought I got this, I'm going to stick with it. I think I just knew I would enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just knew that. Like mm-hmm. there was no question
mm-hmm.
for me that I wasn't going to be successful because I wanted that to be my career.
Okay. Okay.
Is that a good way to answer
it? Yeah.
So I will say that I got my license in 2002, and by 2011, that was my first ninja installation I went to.
Okay.
And by 2010, so that'd be 8 years in it, mm-hmm. and my kids were getting older,
because mm-hmm.
I think Madden was 2 when, she would have been 2 when I got my license. It was in 2010, 2011 that I found myself in a spot in the career that I questioned. I've got to do something different because mm-hmm. I've got to, you know, generate more business or
mm-hmm.
Well, as you know, we were in the recession, mm-hmm. the Great Recession at that time.
Yeah.
So there were a ton of people that felt that way. Mm-hmm. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if every realtor you talked to felt like
questioned what they were doing.
Yes. Sure. And mm-hmm. just, you know, it was a little depressing.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely was.
It was just our career was so stalled out
mm-hmm.
that mm-hmm. You didn't go in the office and have a lot of, you know, energy and vibe. It was depressing.
Right.
And there weren't a lot of people in there working.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I would say in 2011, my vigor for the business just deepened.
Yeah.
And my understanding of my future business was created in 2011. And I never looked back. I started mm-hmm. growing my business after that. And we opened SWMR in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just balls to the wall.
Yeah.
We're getting this, you know, but all of that needed to happen, right? When you look back on things like that.
Oh, sure.
It all fell into place for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm so glad it did.
Yeah. And by 2011, we'd made it through the worst part.
Right.
You know,
oh,
so
for sure. We were
slowly
starting
digging
ourselves out.
Yes, yeah.
And so, rates would go down soon after 2011. I think it was 2014 when they first started falling.
Yeah.
But that certainly stimulated the economy.
Yeah.
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 So what would your answer be to that?
Well, you know, when I got into the business, it was because my dad pushed me to get into the business. That's right. was not my lifelong dream. But around year six or seven, I'm going to say, people were still coming up to me and saying, are you still in real estate? And that question aggravated me so much. Mm. It just got under my skin because I was like, why wouldn't I be? What?
Right.
Do people think I'm flighty?
Right.
What, you know, why would I not still be in? And that was, you know, looking back, that was not my intention. I intended to be in real estate for maybe 2 or 3 years until I figured out how to get to New York City and become a designer.
Right. Of course.
So, you know, but that just, so it was around year six or seven, I think, that I was like, why do people keep asking me that? And apparently there's something about me that is giving the vibe that this is I'm a short timer.
Right.
And that was by no means because 6 or 7 years in, I was on my way to owning the brokerage because I was already sitting in for my brokers when they were on vacation, and I was already being sort of groomed to take over. So in my mind, by that time, there was no turning back.
Right. So, and what year did you buy your business?
2007.
Okay. Yeah. Right in that time frame.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good answer.
Yeah. All right.
My turn?
I think it's your turn.
This could be either personal or career.
Okay.
What is the best decision that you ever made in your life? If somebody gave you a piece of paper and said you get one answer, which is essentially what I'm doing right now, Angie, with no forethought. I mean, if somebody else gave you a piece of paper, you could think about it.
Yeah.
This is off the cuff.
Mm.
Off the cuff.
Off the cuff. That's hard. The best decision. And I can't have one that's personal and one that's
well,
business.
Well, you could, yeah, if you can come up with two.
Okay.
I'll allow that.
Thank you, Tanya. She's such a stickler.
For the no plan plan, yes.
Yes, for the no plan plan. I think one of these days I'm going to look back and think that and it's not that I don't already think this, but I think doing this podcast is going to be one of the things I look back on and say it's going to be my best decision.
I like that
Sitting here right now, I'd probably say, even though it was hell in the beginning, I'd probably say buying the business just because it made me really appreciate it was like I said, you know, I bought in 2007, so it was so difficult those first few years. But it made me see what I was capable of. I had to go through
a
lot.
You had to be resilient.
I had to be resilient.
Yeah.
I had to be resourceful. I had to figure out how we were going to make it.
Yeah.
I had other people depending on me.
Yeah.
And I really think that's when I realized that I was capable of so much more than what I thought. And I think 5 years down the road, maybe not even that long, I already feel like doing this podcast was a really good decision. But, you know, we're in that time frame when we're struggling to figure out how to market this and how, you know, there's a lot of unknowns for us, which is okay. I'm comfortable in the unknown. But I feel like we're going to look back and think it was a good thing we did.
I hope you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I like that.
Personally, that one's hard too, but I think I would have to say getting out of a couple of relationships was probably the most important, because it could have gone, one in particular, I think it looked so right at the time, and looking back and knowing what happened to him after the fact, I just think I dodged a bullet.
Yep.
That was a really good decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Let's take a moment to hear a word from our sponsors.
Let's do that.
And then we'll
be right
back.
We've got some great sponsors. Great leadership isn't about a title.
It's about influence, impact, and the ability to navigate change with confidence. Many leaders struggle to communicate their vision, inspire their teams, and make strategic decisions that drive results. Without the right tools, performance and progress can stall. That's where I can help. I'm Angie Mullings. With decades of experience, I can deliver a dynamic keynote and conduct hands-on workshops that equip leaders to lead authentically and create lasting impact. Ready to invest in a more engaged and high-performing team? Reach out today to schedule a consultation. And we're back. So, Tanya, do you want to answer your own question there? Good decisions?
Yeah. I would have to say, professionally, it was branching off and opening SWMR. Mm-hmm. And reasoning behind that, similar to what you're saying, I stepped into something that I wasn't groomed for. Mm-hmm. So unlike you, I wasn't mm-hmm. groomed for. I never had an aspiration to do this. Mm-hmm. In fact, while preparing to do it, and then after doing it, there were some times I was like,
what am I doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I make the right decision?
Yeah.
But that has afforded me probably some financial freedoms I might not have mm-hmm. had. Mm-hmm. It provided me a whole new wealth of knowledge mm-hmm. that I didn't have.
Right.
Because I had to get my broker's license to be able to hold my license the way I needed to hold it.
Yeah.
As you know. So I had to take one step further and get my broker's license. And in doing so, and combined with opening a business that none of us had a clue what we were doing, we all had to lean on each other. Mm-hmm. We had to lean on our strength that maybe no one else had. Mm-hmm. We had to rely on each other to actually perform. Like, this is your job, this is mm-hmm. your job, this is your job. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know those men. I didn't know those men, any better than I knew you in 2013.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a tiny bit better, because I don't think I knew you in 2013.
Yeah.
But it also afforded me the ability and the opportunity to get involved at the board. Mm-hmm. And that completely changed my career. Mm-hmm. So all of that combined together, mm-hmm. I would have to say that professionally was the most important thing I've done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Personally, was hands down getting out of a second marriage where somebody was stealing me blind. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So had I not gotten out of that at the time I did, my financial stability would mm-hmm. have looked even worse than it did. Mm-hmm. And I'll back that by saying that was the worst decision I've ever made.
Yeah.
Is marrying him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hands down.
Hands down.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
That was my question, right? So now it's your turn?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We've kind of asked around this question on the podcast before. I can't remember what episode it was in, but if you could go back and tell your, I'm going to say your 20-year-old self something, mm-hmm. what would you tell 20-year-old Tanya?
I would tell her to figure out a way to learn patience early on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And to try keeping my mouth shut. Because growing up, I had zero patience. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say flew off the handle easily. I just had no patience for anyone.
Yeah.
Or tolerance for just slowing down and waiting mm-hmm. for either something to happen or somebody mm-hmm. to say something or somebody to do something mm-hmm. before reacting. I was very reactive.
Yeah.
And I often blurted things out way too quickly. Mm-hmm. So I would tell her, patience, listen, and shut your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good.
How about you?
I would say, Angie, you need to have more money discipline. Because I didn't when I was young. Okay. I didn't have patience either. I think some of that just you get as you get older.
For sure.
But I am, you know, I met with a couple not too long ago, and they're so impressive because they ask so many questions about real estate. Mm-hmm. And I love coaching young people mm-hmm. about, you know, should you do something now or mm-hmm. should you wait or mm-hmm. should you, and being able to give them the right answer, the answer I wished I would have had at that age mm-hmm. and someone to coach me through that. And I would have been a lot better off financially if I had made some better decisions as a young adult. So if I can take that opportunity with young adults today mm-hmm. and just have a really good conversation with them,
yeah.
about what they're doing, and that has nothing to do with making money, right? Because if I just wanted to make money, I would say, of course you should buy a house or whatever.
Right.
So I really love the thought that I have so much knowledge and background, and maybe struggling financially early on was good for me mm-hmm. in the end because it has taught me something, and now I can share that with other people. But
true.
But I just love doing that.
Yeah.
That's one of the best parts about our job is when we can help teach young adults how to build wealth mm-hmm. through home ownership.
Yes, and hope they listen.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Fun question.
Yeah.
You find out for the next year, you can only choose 3 makeup choices. Okay? So for the next year, I know.
Okay.
Guys, if you could see her face right now.
What is she doing?
She gave a side roll like, it's happening. Like it just happened. Okay, so you get 3 makeup choices,
okay.
And that's it for 1 year. There's a tariff on all makeup that you cannot afford it for the next year. Okay.
Okay.
What would your 3 makeup choices be?
Okay, lipstick for sure,
hands down.
Does lip gloss and all of that count as one? Anything lip related?
Lip related.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's my.
But thank you for clarifying for our listeners.
Lip related. Does moisturizer count, or is that a skincare product?
That would be a second choice.
So, okay,
so make your choose wisely.
It's going
here.
To have to be, because I'm very particular. I like to take care of my skin, okay. So I'm going to say moisturizer.
Okay. Number 3.
I guess I would say some powder of some sort, because I hate a shine. I hate a shine on my skin.
Well, and with all that moisturizer you're going to be putting on.
I'm going to have a shine. I'm going to need that powder. So that's going to be my 3. Yeah.
Okay. Good answer. My answer would be a lot like yours.
Uh-huh.
Lipstick.
Yeah.
Lip care.
Yes.
Of some kind.
Lip care.
Lip color.
Yes. Yeah.
You add lipstick and you've
just
got, suddenly brightens you up.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Lotion of some kind,
yeah.
of any kind. So any kind of lotion, because I am obsessed with I've got to feel moisturized.
Yes.
So I cannot imagine for 12 months not being able to moisturize.
Oh, I know. Right.
You know, it'd be yeah. horrible.
Yeah.
And then my 3rd choice would be either mascara
mm-hmm.
or powder.
Yeah.
Because at least if you don't have any base on or anything below, mm-hmm. you know, or over your lotion,
yeah.
then at least powder would give you a little bit of color.
A little color, yes.
But having
yes.
mascara,
yeah.
at least you'd be able to see my eyes, because yeah. I have very light eyelashes
Yeah.
And you can't see them at all.
Well, same, but I have extensions, so.
Well, sorry, those are going away.
Oh, if my extensions were going away, then it would have to be mascara.
Okay.
Yes.
So we have the same answer.
We really do. I was just assuming that my lashes could stay with me.
No, Angie. No perks here.
No perks.
Just three things.
All right. I have a fun one, too.
Okay.
Because I know we both like to travel.
Yes. Ooh.
Yeah. And you can go anywhere. Mm. Anywhere that you want to go. Mm. You get to choose three.
Oh, three.
You get to choose three. Because, I mean, narrowing it down to one, yeah, I could never do that. Hard. It is too hard. There's too many places in the world to visit. Yeah. And so, yeah, you get your top three destinations.
Wow. Well, I'm going to say Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been there?
I've been to Norway. I've not been to Switzerland.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I feel like that just would take your breath away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen pictures. My brother went there a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I'd say that's one of them. You know that I am going to Greece mm-hmm. in September, so I'll probably mm-hmm. leave that off because, you know, this is like a big wish list, right?
Yeah.
I would, if I only got three choices and maybe that was all you could ever see,
mm-hmm.
I would probably get on one of those cruise lines
mm-hmm.
that would hit multiple spots in multiple countries mm-hmm. that you could really experience, you know, like 2 or 3 weeks, one mm-hmm. of the big ones.
Yeah.
That you could see all kinds of different islands and countries and probably different weather and different landscape. Mm-hmm. And I would probably choose that because you could lump everything into one trip.
Yes.
Right? And one experience and say, I saw it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have lots of other countries I want to visit. But your Bali experience mm-hmm. intrigues me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that that is someplace that I would just choose to travel to.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd probably be like, you know, once in a lifetime for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. There's my answer.
Okay.
How about you?
So Italy has always been on my bucket list, and I was going to go this year, but there are just some extenuating circumstances. It's not going to, because I want to be all in. I want to be there for a month, not just in Italy, but travel up to Belgium and Switzerland. Mm-hmm. I want to see the Alps. I really think that, you know, that's a must do.
Yeah.
And so Italy for sure. I tell you, the more people I talk to that have been to Africa, I really think I want to go to Africa. Yeah. I want to go. I don't know if safari is absolutely necessary, but maybe you'd have to be with a guide the entire time, and there are certain places you wouldn't want to go. But Africa, it really intrigues
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I've got Italy, I've got Africa, and I think my third one would probably be, there's so many places.
I know.
But I Alaska, because I haven't been there.
Yeah.
And everybody raves about Alaskan cruises and how beautiful it is in Alaska. And it's a natural wonder, and it is a United States
mm-hmm.
state.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that might be mm-hmm. my three. You know, I struggled with Bali because I wanted to go somewhere that was tropical. And I spoke to another realtor friend of ours who just got back from there. And she said she wouldn't go back. I think she's really glad she went.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a different experience than what she anticipated. Now, I want to go there because it's a spiritual place.
Mm-hmm.
It's some place that I feel like mm-hmm. I can go. And last year I took my solo trip, and it was very spiritual, and I want that experience again.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, get to see something tropical and be somewhere that's just completely different. And I got our itinerary yesterday, I think it was, and got some great options that I'm excited to experience. So
good.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah. And Greece is another one that another place that I've always wanted to go. And I know you're going to go this fall. So we'll share.
Notes.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Do we have time for one more quickie?
One last question. What do you think?
Running down through my list.
On the notes that you prepared?
On the notes I prepared all day yesterday. Can you remember your favorite pair of shoes? You're a shoe girl. You're a shopper.
I am. Favorite pair. I actually think that's going to be easier than what you might think. And I had to get rid of them last year. I may have even came in here and said, I had to get rid of these. I had, and they were... Do you remember when Dillard's had their New Year's Day sale and everybody went? And I hate that. I miss that. I miss that sale. But anyway, I bought a pair of, and I can't remember the brand name of them right now, Sam Edelman. They were Sam Edelman, and they were knee-high brown boots that looked really weathered, and I love a good pair of boots. So that's, and I had to get rid of them, and it was, I had a hard time replacing them, and the pair I replaced them with, I don't like them nearly as well. They just fit me really well. They, yeah.
I love a good pair of boots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That you can wear for years and years.
Yes, yes. Just good leather and just wear really well and... Yeah. What about you? Do you have a favorite lipstick? Because you're a lipstick girl.
So here's the thing. I'm kind of a get-around girl when it comes to lipstick.
Oh, my.
Guys.
Oh, my.
What I mean by that
is... This is a PG show, Tanya. It's PG here.
We just increased our rating to R.
We really did.
I have a hard time finding a favorite lipstick. Like, I have a red color that is a favorite brand that I've only bought that lipstick once, and I love it, but they don't have very many colors.
Oh.
So therefore, I don't have any other color in that lipstick.
Yeah.
So I have entirely too many lipsticks by entirely too many brands. And I don't have a favorite because I hop around so much.
Gotcha.
Are you surprised to hear that about
me? No, not at all. Not at all. Let's do a lightning round because then we got to get out of here.
Okay.
Lightning round.
Okay.
Top restaurant. We're going to do some of our favorites. How's that?
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
Top place for steak in Springfield.
I was going to say Antonio Serrano's
restaurant
at the lake.
Yeah.
I would say Flame.
Okay. I'm hearing a lot about Kobe. I have heard and seen a lot on social media.
Recently heard about that.
Yes. And it looks amazing.
Yes.
So.
We got to try that.
I would say Retro Metro is one of the best steaks recently that I've had.
Yeah.
Favorite pizza spot?
I would say one of my top is Eris's.
Yeah.
How about you?
Same. I have got to have gluten-free.
Yes.
So Garbo's or Eris.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like Garbo's too.
Yeah. Favorite, let me think just a second. Favorite dessert? Favorite place to get dessert?
Oh, gosh. Favorite place to get dessert? Oh, that's hard, Angie.
Yeah.
I love all desserts, but I prefer like a pie or a cake.
Okay.
Something with crust.
Yeah. Prairie pie?
Well, I was just thinking prairie pie. If it were a pie, absolutely. They have the best.
Yeah.
Cakes, I used to get just undeniably good cakes from the Tea House in Ozark.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Surely Spring Creek. Spring Creek, their strawberry cake.
Well, I haven't had it, but
oh, yeah, you can't, I can't eat it. Mm-mm. I'm so sorry.
No, I know. She really feels sorry for
me. Favorite dessert?
Creme brulee from Avanzari.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh, yes.
Mm, so good.
And their desserts there just all around are amazing.
So if
you need a good dessert, go to Avanzari.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Favorite coffee place?
Mm. Tanya's Kitchen makes my coffee every day.
Yeah.
So I just don't go buy coffee. So I'm gonna say Tanya's Kitchen.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't drink coffee, so I can't answer that one. But my favorite tea is Seven Brew.
Okay.
Okay. We should probably wrap this up because it's getting a little long.
We could
long.
Stay here all day.
Yeah, we could.
Thank
we
you
hope
guys.
You've enjoyed this
yes,
episode
thank you for
of
listening.
The No Plan Plan off the cuff with Angie and Tanya.
Yes. And we hope that you'll share it with somebody who really needs to hear all about us and wants to know more about us. But we appreciate you listening. Make sure you share, like, and follow us on social media.
And thank you to Gershman.
Thanks, Gershman. See ya. Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.